Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Creative Confidence: Unleashing the Creative Potential Within Us All is a business and self-development book by Tom Kelly and David Kelly, published in 2013. Drawing on the author's work at IDEO and the Stanford D School, it argues that creativity is not a rare talent reserved for artists or inventors, but a capability that can be developed through practice, observation, and a willingness to act. The book is both a mindset guide and a practical introduction to design thinking for non-specialists. Rather than treating creativity as an abstract ideal, it focuses on how people and teams can reduce fear, generate ideas, test them quickly, and learn from imperfect results. Its purpose is to help readers see creative work as something accessible in everyday professional and personal problem solving. The book stands in the tradition of innovation literature, but it is especially notable for trying to make creativity feel concrete, repeatable, and usable across many kinds of work. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book reframes creativity as a learnable capability rather than an inborn gift. A central argument in the book is that the common creativity myth limits people before they even begin. The Kellys challenge the idea that creative ability belongs only to designers, artists, or unusually gifted individuals. Instead, they present creative confidence as something closer to a muscle it strengthens through use, repetition, and experience. This reframing matters because it changes the problem from finding the right personality type to building the right habits. The book therefore speaks to readers who may already have ideas but doubt their legitimacy or usefulness. By moving creativity out of the realm of mystique and into the realm of skill building, the authors make innovation feel approachable. Their approach also broadens the definition of creativity beyond artistic expression to include practical problem solving, experimentation, and new ways of seeing everyday challenges. That makes the book relevant to managers, employees, students, and anyone who needs to contribute ideas in uncertain situations. Secondly, fear is treated as the main barrier that blocks creative action. The book gives unusual attention to fear, especially fear of judgment, failure, and looking foolish. Rather than assuming people lack ideas, the authors suggest many people simply stop themselves from exploring them. This is important because it identifies a psychological obstacle before a technical one. A person may know how to brainstorm or prototype, but still remain stuck if they are overly concerned with being wrong. The Kellys respond by encouraging small experiments that lower the emotional cost of trying. In practice, that means starting with rough drafts, sketches, or simple prototypes instead of waiting for a perfect solution. The value of this section is that it makes creativity feel safer and more actionable. It also explains why creative confidence is not built through inspiration alone. It comes from repeated proof that trying is possible, even when results are imperfect. By treating courage as part of the creative process, the book connects innovation with personal resilience and behavioral change. Thirdly, design thinking is presented as a practical method for moving from ideas to prototypes. Another theme is the author's use of design thinking as a disciplined way to generate and test ideas. The book is not a theory-only discussion of creativity. It is built around making, observing, and refining. This is where its IDEO background becomes especially visible. Instead of asking readers to rely on abstract brainstorming, the authors encourage them to translate insight into tangible experiments. Prototypes do not need to be polished. They need to be useful enough to reveal what works and what does not. That emphasis matters because it shifts creativity from endless planning into learning by doing. The book suggests that action produces information and that early failure can save time by exposing weak assumptions before they become expensive mistakes. This approach is especially useful in organizational settings where teams often delay progress by overanalyzing, by foregrounding rapid prototyping and iteration. The book offers a concrete mechanism for turning vague ideas into workable solutions without requiring special tools or advanced training. Fourthly, the authors connect creativity to collaboration, teams, and organizational culture. Creative confidence in this book is not only an individual trait, it is also a social and organizational condition. The Kellys show that teams can either suppress or amplify creativity, depending on how they work together. A culture that punishes mistakes or rewards only certainty will usually discourage experimentation. By contrast, a team that values curiosity, shared problem-solving, and constructive feedback can make creative effort more sustainable. This is one reason the book resonates with leaders and managers. It frames creativity as something that can be designed into group behavior, not simply demanded from employees. The team dimension also explains why the book is practical for workplaces. Real innovation rarely comes from isolated genius. It usually emerges from interaction, diversity of perspective, and the willingness to build on partial ideas. The author's examples from IDEO and related environments reinforce the idea that creative confidence grows faster when people feel supported by others. The result is a broader organizational argument. Companies can improve innovation by changing norms, not just hiring more imaginative individuals. Lastly, the book emphasizes action, momentum, and continuous application beyond a single project. The closing movement of the book is important because it prevents creative confidence from becoming a one-time exercise. The Kellys argue that creativity should not remain a workshop skill or a temporary burst of enthusiasm. It needs to become part of how people approach recurring challenges. This means using constraints productively, setting milestones, and keeping momentum alive through small wins. These ideas are practical because they recognize that most creative efforts stall not because of a lack of talent, but because progress feels too large, too vague, or too risky. The book therefore treats persistence as a creative discipline. It also connects personal growth to broader problem solving by encouraging readers to apply creative thinking in work, civic, and everyday contexts. That sustained orientation distinguishes the book from many popular creativity titles that stop at inspiration. Here, creativity is positioned as a repeatable operating style: observe, test, learn, adjust, and keep moving. This makes the book useful for readers who want a framework they can return to, rather than a one-time motivational message. In conclusion, Creative Confidence is best suited for readers who want a practical, non-technical guide to creativity in real life and work. That includes managers, designers, entrepreneurs, students, and professionals who may not see themselves as naturally inventive but need to solve problems under uncertainty. Its main benefit is that it converts creativity from an abstract ideal into a sequence of behaviors: noticing opportunities, lowering fear, prototyping early, and learning through iteration. Readers who apply the book are likely to gain not only ideas, but also a more realistic way to pursue them without waiting for certainty or perfection. Many books encourage creativity in general terms, but this one is especially strong at showing how teams and individuals can actually practice it. It's IDEO and Stanford D.